If you turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 11, Joshua chapter 1. The Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded them. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for another opportunity we have to be in your house, to be gathered around your word, to hear truths from you. Just pray that you would just help us to hear the word as it's brought forth. Pray that you would help us to apply it to our lives and just have a closer walk with you because of it. Pray that you would guide and direct in all that's said. Pray this in your name. Amen. So in these verses, we see that Moses has just passed off the scene. Moses had been the leader of Israel for many years, from the Exodus through their time going through the wilderness and the time that they extended because of their unbelief in God. And they finally gotten to the point where they've come up to the promised land for the second time. Moses has died, and the torch has been passed to Joshua. And Joshua is now tasked with leading them into the promised land. This is the long-awaited time. God had promised this many years in advance, and it's finally that time. They're ready to go over. And this is really Joshua's first opportunity to show whether he or how he's going to lead, what kind of leader he has been. Up to this point, Joshua has been Moses' servant. He's learned from being Moses' right-hand man. He's seen God working through Moses. He's had a lot of first-hand experience of seeing God working through Moses, and now it's his time. And this is his first test. And we see in verse 2, the first command that Joshua is given by God as the leader of Israel. And that command says, "Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people." So here Joshua, basically first day on the job, and God gives him this order, says, "All right, get ready, you're going over Jordan." And when you think of all the logistics of this, this was not a simple task. There were the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, coming through this. There was a great multitude of people. And now God has told him, "You're going across this river." And then the next several verses 3 down through 9, it's God encouraging Joshua. It's four times he says, "Be strong and of a good courage," or "Be strong and very courageous." He's building him up in his faith. He's working to increase his faith. He's reminding him of some of the things that God has done in Israel through Moses, and Joshua has seen all of that. And we get to verse 10, and we see Joshua's response. And verse 10, "Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan." So in verse 2, we saw God told Joshua, "Get the people ready, they're going over." And in verse 10, Joshua tells the officers to go tell the people, "We're going over." Nowhere in verses 3 down through 9 do we see God telling Joshua how. He's told him to do this great task. You're bringing all these people across this river, but he didn't tell him how. He didn't tell him. I mean, we know from reading Joshua 3 how God did it. But in this passage here, up to this point, God has just told him, be strong. Basically, trust in me. I've got it figured out. And Joshua's response, he didn't question. He was given a task, but he was not given all the details. If that would be a difficult thing at work, if your boss said, you know, go do this thing, this great task that you had no way of doing, didn't tell you how you were going to do it, and you had to say, sure, I'll do it, and then it was on to you to figure out all the details. That would be a difficult, scary thing. But here we see Joshua, he was given the task, not all the details, but he trusted God. He trusted God, having faith that he would provide a way. Now, attempting an undertaking like this, leading a great multitude across a river, without a plan would be foolish under most circumstances. And in Joshua chapter 3, verse 15 says that the Jordan overfloweth all his banks at the time of harvest. So not only was a river he had to cross, but it was a river that was at its highest. I don't think the Jordan River is a very big river, but even getting across a small river with thousands and thousands and thousands of people is no easy thing, including men, women, children, everything, all of their things they had to get across this river. And not only that, but it was overflowing. It was at the biggest that this river ever gets. It was at this time. And Joshua said, God said to do it. We're going to do it. Within 3 days, we're going over. But getting back to going over this river without a plan, if Joshua was trusting in himself and said that he would do it without having a plan, we could say that that's very foolish. And I have an illustration that actually just happened yesterday of trying to cross a body of water without a plan. My youngest brother, he's in town this weekend, and yesterday afternoon we went out my backyard because he had never seen it, and I have almost 12 acres, and in the back there's some wetlands, then there's a little bit of high ground, and then beyond that there's a swamp. And on the other side of the swamp there's this island, and according to the property maps, I own a little tiny sliver of that island. So I had gone out last summer with a different brother, and we had gone through the swamp wearing waders. And we had gotten over there, we had explored the island. So yesterday, my brother Josh and I, we go out there. And at the time, I thought we were just going to go out so we could see the backyard, to see the swamp and all that. But we got to the edge of the swamp, and he started, you know, he's like, let's go. So this swamp, it's probably at least 500 feet across. And we didn't know how deep it was. We didn't know how frozen it might be. So in we go, and there's a section where there's reeds that are about 20 feet tall. We're winding our way through these, and with each step, you don't know how deep the water is going to be in front of you. And we were wearing our waterproof boots, so we were good up to about our knees. We start going. It seemed like we had been going for a long time, and I look on the map, and it said we were about a third of the way across. I'm like, man, this is taking forever. This is hard work. So we're going, and then we get to almost the end of the reeds where we can finally see again, more than, you know, a foot in front of our face. And he was leading the way, and he was telling me that with certain steps, the water was coming into his boots. It's like, not necessarily a good idea here. We start going further. We get out of the reeds, and he was probably about 20 feet in front of me. And then I got to the point where he was when the water was getting in his boots, and a couple steps, and my feet were soaked. The water had come into my boots. They were cold. They were wet. We go a little further, and I see the island. It's maybe, you know, 50 feet in front of us by this point. I'm like, This is a bad idea. Josh, we got to go back. So we come all this way with the intent of reaching the island, but we didn't really have a good plan of what we were doing. So when we turned around, instead of going back through the reeds the way we had come, we decided to go around the other side where it was shorter, where we could see where we were going. What I didn't think of at the time was that there would be ice there. So this time I was leading the way, getting back. My feet almost up to my waist, I was in freezing water. So I was very cold, and I was just interested in getting back as fast as possible. With each step, I would step on the ice and break through it. My legs would hit against the ice. Today, my legs from the knees down are bruised because of this ice that I was going through. He had the benefit of following in the ice that I had already broken. All that to say, trying to cross a body of water without a plan is a bad idea. I have firsthand proof, and because we attempted to do this without a good plan, it was an utter failure. So now getting back to Joshua, Joshua's given this task of going across a river, and when he agreed to do it, he didn't have a plan. But was he foolish? Say he was not foolish, but rather he had placed his full trust in a God who can always be trusted. One commentary that I read about this passage in Joshua 1, The commentator said that we honor the truth of God when we stagger not at the promise of God. And that's what Joshua did in this instance. Though God didn't give him the plan at first, he trusted that God would provide the plan, that because of God's character, he would make a way. And that's why Joshua could agree to do it even before he had all the details. When God calls us to do something, he will enable us to accomplish it. And we can trust in him because of that, because his character gives us the confidence to fully trust in him. Even if we don't understand, even if we don't have all the details, we can trust that he is a good God. He is a faithful God. And so how can we know this? His character is what tells us. So how do we know God's character? Well, we have his book in which he tells us about himself. And reading the Bible, we can see who God is. We can learn who he is. We can learn to fully trust him. And there's many attributes of God that can be helpful in this. And I have a few that we're going to look at. The first is that God is powerful. He is the Almighty. The Almighty is the Hebrew word Shaddai, which that's one of the names of God. And it is what it says. He is Almighty. He is the all-powerful one. He is omnipotent. It's another word for it. And how do we know that God is all-powerful? Well, he is the creator. He created all things and he sustains all things. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 tell us this. The Bible says in Colossians 1:16, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." So a God who was able to create the universe, everything we see, truly has to be a powerful God. No one else could do that. And one of my favorite verses in Genesis chapter 1 is verse 16, when the Bible says, "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also." Reading that verse, it talks about the sun, it talks about the moon. And then at the end, he made the stars also. If we look up in the sky at night, we can see more stars than we can count. And we know from the, you know, every time a new telescope is developed, they see there's more and more stars. Hundreds of billions of stars, a completely unfathomable number, and we don't know how many there are because we haven't seen them all yet, because we haven't developed the technology to see them. But God created all those stars, and just to think of the power that is in each star, the enormity of that power, the light, everything about it. And the Bible says it's almost like an afterthought in that verse. Oh yeah, he made the stars also. A God who, you know, can do that, who can create all those stars that we don't even know how big the universe is, but he created it all. That is a powerful God. He is almighty. In addition to that, the Bible talks much about the wonders that our God does. Let's turn to Psalm 77. Psalm 77, verses 11 through 14. Bible says, "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people." We serve a powerful, almighty God who does wonders. And because of that power, because of just his, the fact that he is almighty, there's no limit to what he can do. So when he calls us to do something, you know, part of his character is the fact that he is powerful. He is the creator and sustainer of the universe. He is the almighty one. There's nothing that God cannot do. Not only is he powerful, not only is he the almighty God, but he is also faithful. And his faithfulness has been proven for thousands of years, and God has never failed. Joshua had seen many examples of God's faithfulness firsthand in seeing God deliver them from Egypt, seeing God take them through the wilderness. And when they got up to the promised land the first time, he was one of those spies that went in, and he was one of the two who gave a good report. And why was he able to do that? Well, the Bible says that he and Caleb wholly followed the Lord. At that point, Joshua, when he came out, he gave a good report. He said, yeah, it's difficult in there. You know, there's giants, it's going to be a fight, but we can do it, because he trusted God at that point. And unfortunately, there were 10 who didn't. And we know because of that, all those who didn't trust God, all those who didn't believe God, died in the wilderness and never got to experience the promise. But Joshua, he trusted in the faithfulness of God then, and he continued to trust in the faithfulness of God. In Exodus chapter 17, it's the first time in the Bible that we see Joshua mentioned. And in this passage, it's one of the first battles that Israel fights when they've been delivered from Egypt. And they're going through the wilderness, getting up to the promised land. And in verse 9, the Bible says, "And Moses said unto Joshua, choose out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill with a rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." So here we see the first time Joshua is mentioned, Moses calls upon him, tells him to lead the army into battle. And his response there was just like his response in Joshua chapter 1. Moses said, "Hey, Joshua, go do this." And it says, "So Joshua did as Moses said unto him." So his faith in trusting Moses, because he knew that Moses was, you know, God's instrument in leading Israel there. And in verse 14, God told Moses to rehearse these things in the ears of Joshua. Help him to remember this time when I got this victory. God used Moses, God used Joshua to accomplish this great victory. And it was important for God to tell Moses to rehearse that so that Joshua could remember and start building increasing his faith and his trust in an almighty God. And in our own lives, we need to, you know, take those things that God has done in our lives, take those things that we've heard in the testimony of others, and just remember what God has done. Because what God has done in the past is proof, it should be proof to us of what God can do in the future. In engineering, which is what I do for a living, you could sum it up as the practical application of scientific principles. It's taking what science has, what we've learned through science, and applying it to make things, to make sure that things are strong enough, to make sure that things will work, and to make things work better. And those scientific principles, in science, proof comes through the repeated experimentation producing consistent results. In doing experimentation, coming up with a hypothesis, testing it, developing a theory, and then testing over and over until the testing is consistent and it proves that whatever you're studying is true, because it can be repeated over and over again. And thinking about the proof through consistent results, God has been proven faithful time and time again. In His Word, we have the evidence, those experiments that were done, and the proof, the results, and it's always consistent. God is always faithful. God can always be trusted. And like I was saying, our personal experience can prove that too, and the testimony of others. That's why as we share and we hear what God has done, we remember those things, take it to heart, and to see that that is God being faithful yet again. In Psalm 18:30, which is one of my favorite verses, the Bible gives us more to back this up. Psalm 18:30 says, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him." The word "tried" there really means proven as true. This verse is saying the Bible has been proven as true. Thinking about a scientific approach, it's been tested time and time again with consistent results. The word of God is true. We can trust everything in the word of God. So we can trust when the Bible says that God is faithful. Lamentations 3:23 says, "Great is thy faithfulness." And we have a hymn based on that verse. And everything we see in the Bible that talks about God, when He's been tried, He's always proven Himself faithful. So we can believe everything that it says. Every promise of God, we can believe it because it's in the book, and the book has been proven true. In addition to that, its author is both true and the truth. So we can trust the Word of God. We can trust the God of the Bible also. Other attributes of God that would help us in being able to just build that confidence to be able to trust in God fully are the fact that God is good, God is loving, God is all-knowing. And there's many, many more things that we can just remember of who God is, who God has told us that He is, and we can trust in Him. The Bible also says that we are to fear God. We are to have that reverential awe and respect for who He is. And because of all the reasons that I've already mentioned, you know, those are reasons enough why we should fear Him, why we should reverentially awe Him and just come before Him, just giving Him the honor and glory that He deserves as the creator of the universe. And yet He loves each one of us and He wants to use us in our lives. When we fear God, we need not be afraid of anything. Mark 5:36, Jesus said the words, "Be not afraid, only believe." And if in our lives, when we trust in God, when we are fearing Him, it's through that that we can live a life where we're not afraid. We can believe. We can trust in everything that He said. If we truly believe and trust God, then when God calls us to do something, we can act by faith and we can obey because He is faithful. A phrase that I often say in my Sunday school class regarding the faithfulness of God is that God has always been faithful. God will always be faithful, and you are not going to be the first one to see the faithfulness of God fail. And we can take that to heart, knowing that the Bible, with all its proof of God's faithfulness, we have that, and God is not going to fail us. I mean, why would we think that when God has never failed anyone else, He would fail us? That gives us the confidence we need to trust in Him. Hebrews 13:5, the Bible says that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that was a similar promise to what God had given Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. In that encouragement. And the idea of trusting God, obeying God, I thought of the phrase, and it's something that I'd seen in a TV show, I believe. And we've all heard the phrase, "When I say jump, you say how high." And I Googled, I wanted to see what that meant. And I guess it's trusting somebody enough that you've already agreed, or you're already in agreement that you're going to do whatever they say. And you're just asking for more clarification on it. But I think when it comes to God, if God were to tell us to jump, instead of saying how high, I think if God tells us to jump, we should jump. We don't need to ask more questions. We just trust God and do what He said. Romans chapter 4, we see what the Bible says about Abraham and his faith. We'll look at verses 16 through 20. Romans 4, verse 16 says, "Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only that which is of the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God." Our purpose here on this earth is to do just that, to bring honor and glory to God. When God calls us to do something, and we're willing to do it, we trust in Him, we obey because of who God is and because of all that He has done. Like that verse says, Abraham, when he believed, he staggered not the promise, but because of how he acted, he brought glory to God. And that should be our desire in everything we do, to bring honor and glory to God. When we trust in God, when we act in faith, even if we don't have all the details, even if we don't understand it all, if we trust in Him, it gives an opportunity to give Him the glory, honor, and the praise. Because of God's character, we can trust Him fully and we can live by faith. And I have written my notes to repeat the title, which I just realized I never gave you. So the title of this message, as I'm sure you all figured out by now, is A Fearless, Forward-Following Faith in a Faithful Father Whose Faithfulness Never Fails. So in our lives, we can, I mean, that's what God wants us to have. He wants us to have a fearless, forward-following faith in a faithful Father whose faithfulness never fails. And that's what Joshua showed when he acted. Even though he didn't have all the details, he trusted God and he said, God said we're going to do this, we're going to do this. God will make the way. In our lives, we can trust God. If God calls us to do something, he will enable us to do it. And in believing him, it helps us, it gives us an opportunity to bring the honor and glory to God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your love, your goodness and mercy in our lives. Just pray that you would help each one of us to have a desire to live for you, that we would obey you, that we would trust you, and that our lives would be to your honor and your glory. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.